Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, church. How you guys doing? Can we give it up for the worship team one more time? Because they just absolutely killed it. We have the high school in today, so I apologize ahead of time if they're a little rowdy. Before I get started, I always like to give kind of an introduction slash what I've been going through. I like to talk about personal experiences, and it's funny just how this whole situation happened on what we were going to talk about or what I was going to talk about on top of what I've been going through. It just hit on. So I was supposed to cover Acts, right? On Wednesdays, we've been doing a verse-by-verse Bible study on the book of Acts, and recently, I've been hit with something through an event that happened with this guy. It was just fellowship, me and him, and I came to this realization that I was struggling with something, and coming to finding out that I was going to talk on 1 John chapter 1, and it was talking about fellowship and what true fellowship is, and it just hit. But this is the event that happened. I'm just going to say this, bring this into the message, so that we can then get into what we're going to talk about. Is that cool? Can we do it? Okay, sweet. About a month ago, a friend of ours had this memorial run. And in this memorial run, it was for her father. Her father passed away, and so she runs 18 miles, and she has a group of people that go and run 18 miles. I don't run 18, look at me. You know, like I said I can bike ride. Like I'll bike ride, I'll go, I'll hand out some waters. Like that's my job, that's what I will do. And so this was my second year doing it, and we go up. I get this road bike, and I'm in just shorts, regular Vans, like a t-shirt. I'm not prepared. Like, do we have any bikers in here? Any people who actually bike, road bike? Okay, so you guys know what I'm like. There's a way you gear and everything, and I had zero support. I didn't realize that the seats on these road bikes are like borderline metal, right? So I'm riding. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave that there. We have kids in here. I had a bike ride 18 miles from Canyon Hills area all the way to Riverwalk Park. And it's long, but you're going at the pace of these runners. And don't get me wrong. These runners are, I call them savages, because they know how to run. And so keeping up with them is not like just an easy task. Like you're not sitting there coasting, you're pedaling. And so on top of that, I'm going back and forth, handing out these waters to these runners. So we get to the spot, and I'm hurting already. 18 miles, we're done. So I'm at Riverwalk Park. We're clapping for the rest of the runners to come in. And then I see this guy get on the bike, and one of the guys that was with us, and he starts to bike back. And in my head, I'm going, there's two things. One of them, I was like, I don't want this guy to go alone, right? The bike path is dangerous. Like, this is what I'm just telling him. I'm going to go and be a nice guy. I'm going to go bike back with him, even though I was already hurting. And so a little bit of me also was like, I want the competition. I'm pretty sure I can beat this guy. Like, that's like also what came in. But so I hop on the bike, and he already had taken off. And so I'm taking off right after him. And I'm giving it all that I have. And I'm realizing the harder that I bike, the more I see him just the gap just gone. This guy is just flying. And then I see that he's racing this like e-bike. For those of you guys who don't know what the e-bike is, it's borderline a motorcycle. And this guy's keeping up with a motorcycle. And I kind of look back and I'm like, is it too late to turn around? It was too late. I was already too far out there. Luckily, one of our runners was still on the course, and he stopped, gave this person a water. So he saw me from a distance and decided to slow down. And so I got to catch up, and I'm trying to play cool. Like I'm not tired. And I'm just like, hey, you know, you want to race, you know, like let's like pace me back is what I told him. Little did I know this guy was a pro biker. Okay. I didn't have this in mind. So he paced me from, we were already like midway, not midway, but closer to being midway. And he was like, all right, I'll take you all the way back. Let's go. And so he paced me and he told me to stay right behind his tire. And it was like inches away from his back tire, because that's the only time that it would feel easy to bike ride. I'm dying at this point. I'm like, I can't do this. And he keeps turning around and he says, wait for the hill. And I'm going, oh no. So then everything just like clicked. I realized from Canyon Hills all the way to Riverwalk Park is downhill. I didn't put two and two together, like we're gonna have to climb. But he was saying that there's one section to go back to the area where Canyon Hills is. There's this one hill. And he keeps saying, save your energy for the hill. I was like, In my head, I'm like, I have nothing else to give. Like, I'm gassed. And so we're biking and we get to the area where, you know, there's hills here and there. And I keep saying, like, is this it? He'd turn around and just kind of nod his head. I was like, oh no. And we get to the hill. It's Fairfax. Now, in a car, Fairfax doesn't seem like that big of a hill. But after you did 18 miles there, 18 miles back, and you see this trek all the way up, you're going, oh no. And he looks back, and it was like the Terminator. He turns around, and he goes, just drop a gear, and whatever you do, don't stop pedaling. And so in my head, I'm going, I'm going to drop a few gears, and I'm just going to give it all that I had. And I'm biking. And for the next, I'm not even kidding, next 10 minutes, it's just this agony going up this hill. And I finally get to the top of this hill. And then it was just coast all the way down to where our car was. And it was such a cool feeling. But I say this to say, it wasn't until afterwards that God used this weird situation of fellowship. He used this situation in my life to something that I was struggling with. And this is what I have been struggling with. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and a lot of people preaching, and I'm young. I'm still young. And I always get into my head thinking that I'm not good enough. And I always tell myself, I want to be like these guys and I want to do what these guys do. I want to talk in the way that these guys talk because it's professional and it looks good. And this is where my head, this is just me being honest. And I got to a point to where I was just comparing myself to so many different people. And I was going at the pace of so many different people that I was like burning myself out. And in that moment, when he told me to drop a gear and don't stop pedaling, it reminded me to go at my own pace and run the race with endurance. Because church, this is what I want to bring into today's message. When you go at the pace that God wants you to go, it best complements his purpose for your life. And that's something that hit me hard. And so tonight, as we jump into 1 John chapter 1, we're bringing this in because I'm not here to teach you exactly what you need to do and be like me and do what I do in my walk with God, because you have a unique and personal relationship with God yourself. But what I am talking about, what I am going to do, is I'm simply going to open up God's word, and he's going to reveal the things that he wants you to change, that he wants you, what pace he wants you to go at, because that's when we will be most effective. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. We are jumping into 1 John, like I said, chapter 1, and it talks about fellowship. We're not going to stay just in fellowship because we're going to, you know, break down verse by verse. But there was just some valuable lessons that I've learned from here, and I'm excited to teach it. So let's just bow our heads. Let's pray this. Lord, would you just meet us where we're at? God, right now, in Jesus' name, I don't know what every person is going through. But you do. So Lord, right now I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak into our lives. God, that this would be your words, not mine. God, change this message. If it doesn't align with your will, change the entirety of it. But Lord, we just want to know you more. We want to fulfill your will. And so we thank you for your grace and for your mercy that we do not deserve. We thank you for this love, and we trust you with meeting us here tonight and speaking to our lives. We love you so much in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to give an overview of what's pretty much happening, because this chapter is crazy. So 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, they're all books that were written because of a crisis that was happening in the churches. And it's a crisis that's still happening to this day. The crisis is there's drama, there's division, and there's false teachings. And so what was happening is there were people that were being led astray. There were people that were leaving the churches and saying that Jesus wasn't the Messiah anymore. And so John writes these letters as this bringing order, right? He's writing these letters as damage control. And he's telling the churches and reassuring believers that if you adhere to the truth, you can still know that God is there, that God is alive, and that God is real. And so he writes these letters, and 1 John is kind of like a poem, right? Like this poetic sermon more. It's more of this invitation that he writes to the churches. And so when John refers to you, he's talking about the new believers, people who haven't encountered Jesus yet. And he's talking about we, he's talking about himself and the disciples, people who are eyewitnesses of God, who walked with Jesus, who saw Jesus. And it's this exchange between we and you. That's where the invitation in it is. It's this fellowship with God. And so 1 John chapter 1, as we kind of break into this, we notice that John knows that the best things in life are not things at all. The best things in life are relationships. And God has put in each and every single one of us in our hearts to have this relationship, to yearn for relationship, to want this relationship, not just with people, but with God. And it's what John says is he teaches us how to have these relationships, not just for the here and now, but for all eternity. And this is what's powerful. So we're gonna break this down. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. If you have your Bibles out, get your Bibles out, because we're gonna go verse by verse. And we're only gonna hit a few verses. So 1 John verse 1, chapter 1 says this: what was from the beginning, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John is making a bold statement here. John is saying that whoever or whatever that he is talking about, his subject is eternal and therefore God, because he was created before all things. John is talking about Jesus here. And it's a bold statement, because there is this implication that John's words have weight because he is an eyewitness to this evidence, right? He's not talking about some fairy tale. John's not talking about something that is some ideology. He's saying, no, I've seen the word of, I've seen Jesus, and I know that what he is true. And this was enormous, because like we were talking about the false teachings, one of them was Gnosticism. And what that was there was a religion going around that was saying that Jesus, yes, he was God. However, he wasn't fully man. He was some kind of physical phantom. And John's going, no. I've heard him. I saw him. I touched him. I walked with him. I did life with him. And then he takes it a step further in that bottom verse. He says, And so when John says, this we proclaim concerning the word of life, it is as John's talking about this being as being more than just Jesus. And this is what I mean. The word of life, if you look this up, the Greek word of the word is logos. Why this is important to both John, the Jews, and the Greeks is because logos was described as many different things. To the Jews, logos was described as being God, because God would perfectly reveal himself in his word. And to the Greeks, logos was revealed as this all-knowing, all-powerful, this is everything coming together informational station, right? This was logos. Then philosophers would write about this for centuries. And John makes the statement that Jesus is this logos. Jesus is the word of life. And what he's saying, you know those people that you've been talking about? Right, the people that you've been writing, this logos that you've been talking about for centuries and writing about? Well, I know him. I walked with him. I've touched him. And he's saying, now let me tell you about him. That's powerful. And so this is what happens, and this is what he does. In a verse, John, 1 John 1, verse 2, he says this. He says, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. John is being repetitive here. He's being redundant here. He's going, look, let me prove to you what I know. And this brings me to the first point of what fellowship is. And it's this, it's true fellowship starts with Jesus as the center of the relationship. But when I looked into what even is manifested, I'm going like, I really don't know. Actually, I made some phone calls and some people actually had to tell me, and then I had to do my research on it. But what this pretty much means when John is saying that this life was manifested, it's meaning that it's made actually physically real. This is that argument that he is continuing to talk about. And so he says this, he's setting up for his next statement because he is testifying that he was an eyewitness. He's saying that what his statement is true. It's not a fairy tale. And it's kind of like T-ball, right? He's putting the ball up and he's getting ready to hit that home run, because listen to this next statement in 1 John chapter 3. And it says this, that which we have seen and heard, there he goes, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This simple statement means that we, you and I, can have a relationship with the creator of the universe. This is revolutionary. His readers were probably confused. Not only that, but the Greek mindset, they highly praised what fellowship was, what relationship was. And John is saying, this Logos, this God, the Jesus, you can have a personal relationship with him. Revolutionary. But if we've noticed in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 6, verse 9, it talks about the same thing. When John goes to the Jews and he lets them know that they can talk to God as Father. And so John is just repeating what Jesus is already doing. And he's saying, yo, you can have a relationship with God. And this fellowship, this declaration that he's making, it's important. I don't want you to think that it's just something that comes and goes, because here's the thing. This fellowship isn't just an occasional acknowledgement. Right, when you and I say it's time to follow Jesus, and when we give our life to God, it doesn't mean that we add Jesus into our life like we add salt to fries, right? In and out. But what it means is that this fellowship, this koinonia, it's a common bond. It's this sharing. What John is wanting the readers to know is not just that you have a relationship with God, but that you therefore share a life with Jesus and he shares it with you. And when we do this, we then therefore become more like him. John is just hitting his readers with this invitation, letting them know, even those who were leaving the church, he's reminding them, yo, God is still alive. God is still here, and if you adhere to the truth, you too can be involved into this relationship. And that hit me, especially for this next part. But my point number two is this, that we have an invitation to a relationship with God, but this is the result of that kind of relationship. And if you take anything out of this, I hope it's this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, it says this, it says, and we are writing these things to you so that our joy, other manuscripts say your joy, may be complete. My point is that the result of this fellowship that God is talking about and that John is talking about, the result of the fellowship is fullness of joy. I just experienced this recently. My wife had to get a surgery a few days ago. We were talking about having kids, and that's something that we've talked about for a while. And recently, we decided, you know, to pray on it, and we just kept feeling that God was telling us to wait. And then we started to kind of just go through life, and we kind of just forgot, right? She kept saying that she had pain in her stomach, and she had an idea that she was saying, hey, maybe it's an ovarian cyst, I don't know. She went and got checked, and sure enough, they gave us a call back. They said, hey, we found something, we need to talk to you. She had a cyst in her ovaries that was the size of a grapefruit. And in that moment when we were sitting with the doctor and he was telling us, you know, what was happening and possibly removing ovaries, my mind just, I just didn't hear anything after that. And I started to kind of go through the worst case scenario. I'm going, I'm not going to be a dad. I'm not going to be able to have kids. And we're sitting there with this doctor, and I don't remember even what I said, but I'm sitting there and I'm going, this is it. Like, what? We've talked about having a family for so long, and now there's a possibility that we can't. And it wrecked me. She later ended up having the surgery. They did unfortunately have to remove her right ovary, but she still has another one. And they said that we still have the same chances and it wasn't cancerous. And it was awesome. And so we considered that a victory, but I want to say this, because when I got home, I got hit with something. What if both ovaries were taken out? Would I still have the same joy? If the circumstances were flipped, would I still be this joyful? And I had some conversations with some people in my life that I look up to, and even some of my mentors. And one of the things that I came to this realization, and this is something that John even talks about, but one of the things I came to this realization is, regardless of what the outcome was, there is this joy, this freedom that I get. And this wasn't the first time that I felt it. I felt it when my dad passed away. There was sadness, but I still had this freedom and I had this joy. When I found out my mom had a brain tumor, there was sadness, but I still had this freedom and I still had this joy. When I found out about my wife and potentially, you know, the whole situation and blowing it out of proportion, saying, oh my gosh, we're not gonna have kids, I still had people in my life who were reminding me that I could still be sad, but I can also still have this joy. Because there are two different things. Happiness is based on circumstances, when joy is rooted in Christ. And Jesus talks about this. This is what Jesus says. And this is what John is he's echoing this. So when he's saying, and we're writing these things to you so that our joy and your joy may be complete, he's copying what Jesus was telling his disciples back in John. And it says this, John 15:11. I didn't give you guys this tech team, but this is what it says. It says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be filled. John 16:24 says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. John 17:13, but now I come to you and these things I speak into the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And what I'm saying is I have experienced this joy. I have experienced this freedom in some of the darkest places in my life. And though my happiness was gone, though my happiness wasn't valuable or anything, the joy was. And God showed me that in that joy that he was there. God showed me that in that joy, regardless of what was happening around me, that God was still present. And what John is saying is he's reminding these people who are leaving the churches, he's saying God is still alive, not because of some fairy tale, but because of eyewitness evidence. I seen him, I walked with him, I touched him, and you too can have this relationship with God. And I was studying on this, and I was in tears last night. I stayed up to about like 2 o'clock in the morning, really diving into what this was and what God was telling me. But this relationship, here's what I want to let you guys know. It's not this thing where you have to do a list of different things in order to receive Jesus. God is going, if you want the relationship, it's here. I will freely give it to you. Now, when it comes to this joy, I'm not saying it's based off of feelings. And I don't want you to think that just because you follow God that immediately you're just going to have this happiness and nothing is ever going to affect you again. But what I am saying, and this is a promise, is that you have freedom in the midst of every situation. You don't have a hold on what this sin does to us anymore because of what God already did. And in that third and final point, when it's the result of the fellowship is fullness of joy, this is where John kind of leaves us, and we're going to leave this for another time, but John is allowing the readers to know that at any given moment, at any situation, wherever you're at, you can accept and have this amazing and true fellowship with God. Now, here's what I want to leave you guys off with, and this I will end here. There's a few different Bible verses that we've been doing in the youth, like activities at the end of every sermon. But the Word of God has just had a different place in my heart. And what I mean when I say that is there is this change that truly happens. The Word of God is the Word of life. It's living, breathing on a daily basis. And if we hold on to this stuff, if we hold on to what God's word is, it is easier for us to go through whatever circumstance that we're going through. And I got a few on what fellowship is, why we even come to this church, and why we even gather together with our brothers and our sisters. And I have this, Matthew 18, 19 through 20. It says, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For the where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." What this place is and why we do church is because it gives us a picture of who God is and it makes us stronger. Hebrews 10, 24. And this is for you guys to hold on to, right? These verses are for you guys to write down. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, it says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." What we do in this place provides encouragement. 1 Corinthians 12, 21, "The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you." This place, what we do, reminds us that you and I are not alone. And the last Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 14, 26. "Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you." What we do in this place helps us grow. I wanna end with this. It was that fellowship that I had with that bike rider, that pro bike rider, that this new realization kind of came to my mind. Getting involved in a Bible study or coming to church, it isn't just another thing to do on your schedule. It's meant so that God can use those moments, use those areas to speak into your life. It's shocking on how many times God has spoken in my life in areas where I'm going, it's a bike ride. You know, like, it's just going up Fairfax. But he uses it as a moment to teach us. My encouragement and my hope and my prayer after tonight is that when you leave this place, that you just get encouraged to get with some people, to start a Bible study, to get involved in what we got going on here. And this isn't a plug just because we want to grow a campus. This is a plug because we truly care about our mental state and we know who the healer is. That's what we truly care about. Did you get something out of tonight? Let's pray. God, this is you. God, this is your word that brings true joy. God, it is your word that brings reassurance and reminders and uplifts us. Lord, I did my part and I taught on what you wanted me to teach about. And so, Lord, now it's for us as a congregation, Lord. There are people in here who have burdens that need to be lifted. God, there are people here who need fellowship. God, there are people here who need to just have a conversation with you. So God, if there is anyone in here that needs prayer, God, would you just give them the boldness to come up to the front at the end and get prayer from this prayer team? God, would you divinely set up moments right now? Lord, would you just speak to us in ways that you know we need to be spoken to? Lord, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for how real we can be with one another, and I thank you for the love that you give and that you bring into this place. We trust you. We love you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.